Welcome back to Head Games with Rick Bucher from ESPN Magazine and a man that covers the NBA for his heart and soul. Rick, there has not been a great deal of evidence that coexistence of two top scorers leads to a championship. What do you think of the chances of this being a success?
There's a number of reasons, aside from the fact that you point out that having two guys who could lead the league in scoring has never produced a championship. It's also just, if you look at the Western Conference, it's just so thick with talent. And you're asking Allen Iverson and Carmelo Anthony, if you count in Carmelo's remaining 14 games that he's going to be suspended, the timeline for those guys to develop any sort of synchronicity is just very, very short. And so when you combine that with the competition in the West, I just don't see it happening. And it's not like Allen Iverson is the beginning of his career. At 31, he's approaching the downside. So is it going to get any better? Is it going to get any easier? No. And the final verdict is you have a team that may be a little bit better than it was, but it's not going to win a championship. And in the meantime, you're taking on a luxury tax hit as a result of Allen Iverson's contract that makes this a very expensive proposition for a team that is going to be maybe a first or second round playoff team.
So basically you're saying that Philadelphia is saving $20 million and the Nuggets are taking on $20 million, but it is an up-tempo. It is a fast-paced style that does suit AI. Tell me, what do you think about the 15 games or 13 games, whatever it ends up being, where AI can really assert his leadership without Melo being in there? Does that help him?
You know, it's too bad that you don't have like a 30-day buyer's remorse clause in this deal, because if it could be where they just take Iverson on loan while Carmelo is out, that would be perfect, because obviously, as difficult as the playoff race is in the West, having him there while Melo's out is certainly going to win them some games they would have probably lost otherwise. So that part of it is good. Now, if only they could, after the 30 days when Melo's back, say, you know what, on second thought, we'd like to have our guys back. We're not so in love with this. And that would be the idea. Since they can't do that, it's going to be a huge challenge. As far as Carmelo and the suspensions and the fines that were handed out, there's no doubt that the NBA is under more scrutiny than any of the other sports, without question. It wasn't even a brawl, to be honest with you. I mean, two guys got into it on separate occasions, and you take a look at the baseballs that happened. Those happen seemingly every other week, and there seems to be far more action in those than what we saw in Madison Square Garden. Now, I understand the fans are in much closer proximity. It's smaller.
It's intimate. They're in your face.
Exactly. And so it's going to look worse on TV, and since it looks worse on TV, then it's going to look worse to the general public. But I don't think it's fair. I genuinely feel that there is a double standard, and that people look at the NBA and what happens there, and they're held to a much tougher standard. You look at what's happened in the NFL just this year and some of the stuff that has happened. If that happened in the NBA, people would be calling for the dissolution of the league. They'd say, we shouldn't be playing this sport anymore because there are just too many bad acts in it. And yet, you got guys that are going to prison in the NFL for trying to kill their girlfriend. Please tell me how that's not the worst possible thing you could have.
Yeah, I think part of it is just the sense that so much can go so wrong so quickly in the NBA. I mean, you can say that there might be some racist thing. Of course, Charles Barkley thinks that's the case, that it's perceived as the black league, and baseball is only 9% black, and that's part of it. But I think it's also that it is in your face as well. Yep. We talked to Mike D'Antoni yesterday about the brawl. I wanted to see your response to this.
Nuggets? Not at all. I don't even think it doesn't. I don't know what George's, what's happened to them in the past. I don't know what kind of team he has or what kind of mindset. But you know what? So what if you're getting beat? So what if somebody scores an extra 4 points on you? Do you think that somebody sitting around going, oh, they got beat by 15 instead of 11, they really look bad? You know, you're off. Take it like a man. Sit there, get your team better for the next time you play them and try to kill them. I mean,
that's Mike D'Antoni. Now, I know you have a different opinion of this. Mine is, you know what? I'm with Mike D'Antoni here. You know, you lost. You're getting your rear end kicked. Who cares? Move on to the next one. Don't try to create a bigger problem. And I think that Isaiah Thomas did bleed into that. Maybe it's a little bit desperate because it sure looks like the Knicks aren't going anywhere.
Yeah, no, there was a lot of emotion in here. And in any other circumstance, you might not have had that. But you might not have had that same reaction. But there was a history here. And there was a question of, is somebody trying to show up somebody else? And so with that in mind, J.R. Smith running out after every possession and throwing down reverse dunks, and I mean, he was showboating. And with the emotions running the way they did, I'm not surprised that Marty Collins would take a hard foul and say, I'm not going to let you do that to us again. Not on our home court, not with all that was being said. So you have to take into consideration what the history here and what was going on, and knowing that you were provoking a response. Now, did it deserve all that happened? No, but you can't be surprised that the Knicks took offense to the way the Nuggets were playing the final minutes of that game.
Well, give me another option then. If you're not happy with the way that they are supposedly running up the score, what else can you do besides, you know, threaten a guy's physical health by tackling him under
the
basket?
Well, you know, I mean, to me, you take a hard foul. You let them know that we're not just gonna let you dunk on us. We're not gonna just let you waltz in for layups. If you go in, you're going to pay a price. And the bottom line is, J.R. Smith was not injured by that foul. J.R. Smith, I've seen far worse, far more dangerous fouls taken. So I'm not going to say that he did something all that untoward. And the easy thing for the Nuggets is, run out the clock. Why do you need to be dunking, running out for dunks? That's actually contrary to basketball logic. You want to burn the clock. You don't want to score quickly because that gives the ball back to the opponent just that more quickly. You want to
waste time. You're saying they were doing none of that. You're saying they were doing none of that.
No, they absolutely weren't doing that. I mean, and maybe it was, look, J.R. Smith is somewhat of an immature player. He likes to showboat. This didn't necessarily come from George Karl. It may have been J.R. Smith just trying to stick it to him. But if you're the coach, look, I was watching Lakers-Bulls last night, and the Bulls had the game in hand, and Cephalosha came down and jacked up a three. And as he was going off the and they flashed to the Lakers bench, and all of the Lakers bench looked at, including Phil Jackson, looked at Cephalosha and looked at the Bulls like, what's that about? And as he was coming off the floor, Skiles said to him, you don't have to take that shot. Don't be shooting a three in that situation. That's exactly what a coach does.
Well, let's get specific here. What's a game in hand? Rick, what's a game in hand? Having a game in hand, what is that to you?
A game in hand is when you have the ability to burn the 24 seconds off the clock and make sure that the opponent does not have enough possessions to score the necessary points to beat you.
But how many points is that?
Well, it's 2 points or say 3 points for every 24 seconds. So if you're up by 10 with a minute left, you should be able to waste that clock because you're not only counting your 24 seconds, you're counting the seconds that they need to score at their end.
But then there have been teams that have come back from 12 points. I mean, it just seems to me it's an interesting thing. I do see now that there are things you can do to show a little bit more respect, but at the same time, I think Isaiah Thomas has a lot more important things to worry about than whether they're running up the score from 15
to 20. I'm not going to defend Isaiah Thomas because he's in a tough spot and hasn't done a good job. And, you know, saying what he said to Anthony is unnecessary. You shouldn't be talking to the opposition.
Yeah.
But
listen,
George could have prevented this.
Rick, we got to go. We appreciate it, buddy. You're the best. We look forward to all your good stuff in ESPN Magazine.
You got it, man.
Thank you, my friend. Rick Bucher, ESPN Magazine. We'll be right back on Head Games on Sports Byline and Sirius Satellite.